Lord, I thank you just for the opportunity, God. But Lord, we just lift up Pastor Evan to you right now. And we just pray over our leader. Lord, I pray for restoration in his body, restoration in his mind, restoration in his soul, God. That as he's resting today, Father, that he'll be fully recharged and energized. Lord, we pray against any sickness in the name of Jesus. Whatever's attacking his body, he has no right. And we command you to be gone. We command all sickness to bow at the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you for our leader. We thank you for his calling and the man that you've just created him to be, God. That he is a man after your heart, Father. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for today's message. Lord, I just pray, God, just to use me as an open vessel. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. So, Father, I just step aside so that you can have your way in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to continue talking about evangelism and lifestyle evangelism. And today's message title is It's Time to Go. It is time to go. In Matthew, we can see the Great Commission. So in Matthew 28:19-20 says this. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Everybody say go.
Go.
Come on, say go.
Go.
Come on, say like Pastor Paula says and say it with your chest. Say go.
Go.
There we go. We've got to go. This is Jesus right before he ascends back to heaven. He's talking to his disciples and he goes, guys, it's time to go. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about evangelism. And you've been equipped. And I believe it's a season to go. But when I read this, and I read the word go, it reminded me of my high school years. And in high school, I played a lot of sports. I would say I was an athlete, but I was not. Not gifted in any wetsuit of ability. But I played. So one of those sports, I went to a really small school called Redwater in East Texas. Redwater. We were the Redwater Dragons. Yeehaw. And so, I don't know. School spirit. It was one of those schools that was small enough that you kind of had to play every sport if you wanted to play one sport. So I wanted to play football because I'm in Texas and everybody grows up playing football if you're from Texas. And definitely East Texas. It's in our DNA. And so the other sport I had to play was, well, we had to do powerlifting, which I didn't really like that one at all because you have to lift heavy things. And then the other one was track. And I kind of enjoyed track. Track actually got me into a lot of shape. I lost like over like 50 pounds during that time. And I was a hefty little boy. But trust me, I had it to lose. It's all good. God bless me with curves. So I got into shape, and this was before my life was really dedicated to the Lord, and so it was a co-ed sport. So practices were kind of nice too, you know? And so I enjoyed the practices, and I enjoyed track meets. I enjoyed every Thursday because we got free food. You get that Subway. Now y'all might be going, Subway, but hey, for a 15-year-old, Subway was the jam. Subway and Capri Sun all day. And so we got the free Subway or the free spaghetti if somebody made it. And then, you know, we had track meets every 2 or 3 weeks. And so we'd go to the track meet. It'd be really fun. I ran the 400 and the 800. My 400 time was the time of an 800. My 800 time was the time of a mile. So I didn't really care about when it came to the track day, when it was track meet day. And so I remember we would line up on the line and he'd say, ready, set, go. And then after they say go, I would hear a voice, go Calhoun, go Calhoun. And coach would just be yelling at me and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to run now. And so, and then we'd run the track and I would have more in me, but I just wouldn't never really give it my all. And so in the time, I didn't really realize that, you know, doing better was better for the team. See, I thought better for me was just better for me. And so I enjoyed the practices. I enjoyed getting into shape. I enjoyed the community aspect of it. But overall, I was letting my full team down. Because sometimes I would finish the race. Sometimes I'd do that 800, get that one lap done, the second lap, I'd be like, and just walk off. I would. That was such an embarrassment. No. But it got me thinking, I enjoyed all of it up to when it was time to go. And so it made me think, as believers, how often do we do that? We love coming to the church house. We love getting fed. We love the community. We love our small groups. But when it's time to share the gospel, we don't really want to do that part. But the Great Commission says to go. So this morning's message is an encouragement for you to go. That if you've had an encounter with Jesus and he's changed your life, it's time for you to go. So we're going to look at a few ways on how we go. The first way that we look at we go is we go as ambassadors. I know when I first started, when I spoke a couple of weeks ago, we talked about identity. Well, after you know your identity in Christ, you actually become an ambassador of Christ. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:12, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ." An ambassador is a diplomat sent by a country as its official representative. Come on. You are God's official representative. You represent the kingdom of God. What an honor. The one who spoke existence into play goes, "Hey, I'm going to make you my representative." He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But he said, "I'm going to choose you to be my representative." Before there was anything, it was dark. He created the heavens and the earth. He put all of us here, but yet he chose us to represent him. And what I love when we represent Christ is that we're representing the kingdom of God. And so that means we have full access to the kingdom of God. And so it's something that as representatives, we actually can be proud of to represent. But what I love is how we represent the kingdom. So how do we do that? We actually have peace. We actually have freedom. We actually have the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Before him, we could not really experience those things. They're fruit of the Spirit. So we get to be ambassadors of him. So that means I get to walk in peace every day. So that means I bring the kingdom wherever I go. Because Christ lives inside of me. And since his lives inside of me, that means my authority through Christ, everywhere I walk, I get to change. So that means when my kids act up and driving me insane, I got peace. So when my cousin kids are acting up and they ain't believers and they're going nuts, and how do you just do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? Jesus. When work is driving you insane and you feel like stress is just and you're stressing out, you don't have to because you have the peace that surpasses all understanding. So stress actually doesn't have a hold on your life if you don't step out into that trap of the enemy, because you're an ambassador of Christ. So that means you carry the characteristics of Christ. So that really means that when you walk into a hospital room where somebody's sick, that you can lay hands on and see them healed. because you carry Christ with you. And it says that the ones who believe, these signs will follow. It means you can have true joy in any season of life. Like true joy. It means you can really feel love no matter how bad of father issues that you have. Because your heavenly Father truly loves you. Because you're an ambassador of Christ. So you get to represent these things. It means you can be the good news during the bad news. That you have hope during that. Because I love to be transparent. That's who, it's kind of who I am. And my parents right now are going through these seasons, and I was blessed to be able to be raised by strong, believing parents. And that I can look at them and go, man, they're ambassadors of Christ. So for about 10 years now, 10, 11 years, something like that, my mom has been battling with these seizure type things. No doctor can figure them out. They're called, we call them episodes. And she has them as a full-on type seizure that she has 2 or 3 times a day. Well, about 2 years ago, my dad got the opportunity to retire. Woohoo! Right? Most of us in the room are like, that's way too far along. We're not even looking at retirement. But he got to retire, but he retired. And then a week later after he retired, his mother-in-law moved in who has Alzheimer's. And then that got bad. And then about 6 months after that, my mom got cancer. And then fast forward to now, my dad has cancer. Any of you ever been there when you just get bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news? And so, praise the Lord. My mother went through surgery last year right before my wedding, and she's cancer free now. But so, she's cancer free. My dad is going into surgery this late July for his, and then she still has the episodes. But what I love is their response. Because the response is, every time I call, I talk to my parents almost every day. And when I call, I'm like, how was your day? Like, oh, it's a good day. So we don't know why it's happening, but God works everything for our good and his purpose. So we're good. We're good. Now, how are you? Now, this is not just the response that they give just to their son, because you might be like, oh, they're protected. No, this is their lifestyle. This is because they've learned how to be ambassadors of Christ. So because they know who they stand on and the foundation that they're on, no matter what attack comes, they know they have a testimony even in how they respond. See, a lot of times we don't look for the testimony unless it goes the way that we want it to go. But if it's really for our good and his glory, we have to understand that this is not the only life that we live, but we have an internal life. And that even when God might use one of us to go through something, to be able to reach somebody. That's what an ambassador does, is they represent their kingdom. They represent their nation. So we might be going through something, but the great thing is that we have good news during bad news. Unlike people who don't know Jesus, all they have is bad news. All they can rely on is the wisdom from man. And I'm telling you right now, I've been there. I never will ever go back only trusting the wisdom of man. Once you've seen him move, once you've just been with Jesus one time, that's all it takes. We are ambassadors. Everywhere you go, the atmosphere can shift. No matter what comes at you, you can have peace. You can know he's going to work it out for good. You can know it has a purpose. I said, I am blessed to have parents that believe. Because I know people who don't. I have parents that know how to pray. So when the doctor says one thing, they can quote the word that says something else. We are ambassadors. We represent the kingdom. Can I tell you something? You might be the only recipient, I guess I can't tell you something. I'm trying. You might be the only ambassador of Jesus that somebody sees. You might be that only person that they don't ever see another believer in their life. But how you respond, they go, there's something different. What is it? Why is everything going good in their life? Why is it when bad things come, they still respond, but they have confidence? Why is it when the storm blows that they have a firm foundation? And you can turn around and go, it's because of him. But it's because of him that I have hope, true hope. It's because of him that I have faith. It's because of him that I have joy every morning. It's because of him that I have a purpose for my life. Your career is not your purpose. I don't know who that's for, but you're digging a hole trying to find your purpose, looking in all the wrong areas. You're trying to find success because you think success is going to bring you happiness and purpose, and it's not. That you only find that through Jesus. That wasn't on my notes. So I'm going to walk back over here and look at them. After we go as ambassadors, we have to go with urgency. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but it is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That all should reach repentance. That all should reach repentance. That all. We can't treat this like a VIP club. We can't treat the church like it's a VIP members only club. He wants everybody. And we have to move with urgency. We don't know the day or the time. You know, my grandma always says, you don't know the day or the time, but I just can't wait for Jesus to come back. I'm tired. This old bag of bones. And she keeps just excited about Jesus coming back. And I have to think, what if Jesus isn't coming back because we're not doing our part? Because he didn't say, I just want to come for you, but I want to come for all, and that we need to move in some sort of urgency. See, I believe that we really honestly think that everybody has 80 to 100 years. And so when it comes to sharing the gospel and being an evangelist, we go, well, we have time. We have time. I got another 20 years. I got another 30 years. I got another 80 years. I'll get to it when I get to it. It's not convenient right now. I got to go get my groceries. But we need to have urgency. Who all likes to go out to eat? Right? About like good restaurants. There's something about that restaurant water that I like. It's different than my house water. It's pretty good water. But the issue is when I go to a restaurant, I enjoy the water a little too much, and I drink 5, 6, 7 glasses of water. And then we eat and get in the car, ready to go home. Well, all of a sudden, I have an urgent matter. Or an urgent bladder, whatever you want to call it. And I got to run. and I got to go back. Donna, we got to pull. We got to go to Kohl's. I don't care whatever the next stop is. I know we're on the way home, but I got to go because I drank too much water and I got to go. And then you're walking through the store like, where's your restroom? And you're trying to not make it obvious, but you're trying not to, embarrass yourself in public. And, it's urgent. It's urgent because the inside of me is telling me, I've got to go, I've got to go, I've got to go. I wonder if the Spirit of God is saying, you've got to go, you've got to go, you've got to go, you've got to go. Do we move with the same urgencies? When it comes to our physical bodies, we'll move when we know there's an emergency that we need. But when it comes to spiritually, do we move with urgency? Do we play? Or do we see this as literally people's life and death? That people are still going to hell today. That it's not something that is just written in the Bible and it's what happened 2,000 years ago. But that it's still today. And that God decided to use us as his ambassadors, but for us to go with urgency. Because we don't know the day or the time. I like what it says in Romans. It says, Romans 13:11, it says, and do this understanding, this present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is near. Now then, as we first believe. It is time for us to wake up. We do not have all the time every day. That this is life and death for people. I was reading a stat the other day and it said this, self-identifying Christians make up 63% of U.S. That's pretty good, right? 63% of the United States is self-identified as a Christian. Honestly, that was more than what I thought. Then I kept reading. It says 63% of the U.S. of the population in 2021, which is down from 75% from a decade ago. So in 2021, we went from 75% to 63%. That is a 12% decrease of people who say, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. That tells me there's an urgency that we need. That tells me that we have to go. That we go to all the nations, but we got to go in our backyard first. That tells me we have to have an urgency for our neighbors. That we have to move for them. That there's not time. But every time that we take time, more people are lost. But that he decided to use us to show his love. That people can feel the same love that you felt. And that you feel from Christ. But we have to go. It can't be a once a month. It can't be this thing that we put on the back burner anymore. But we have to have urgency in it. The third thing is we have to go with power of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. The gospel is powerful. The gospel has power. The gospel has power. John 3:16 is still relevant no matter how many times you've heard it, how many bracelets it's been put on, how many shirts it's been put on, how many little things they put on the football players it's been put on there. It doesn't matter how many times. It is still applicable today. It is still relevant. It is still the word of God and it still has power in it. You can't allow something not to have power because you've seen it more. It has power in it. It has power in it. You know, about a year ago, time's flying. A couple years ago, whatever. I was wanted to get my house cleaned, right? So I called a maid service to come, and the lady came over to give me a price quote and then to clean the house. And she asked me what I do for a living, and I said, well, I'm a pastor. She goes, what is that? I was like, well, what is that? I've never really had to explain. No, I'm just kidding. I got you. So well, I share the gospel of Jesus, and I work at a church that helps build believers. And she's like, who's Jesus? This is in Waxahachie, Texas. Not Kenya. We have bought the lie that people in our neighborhoods have never heard of Jesus before. In our own backyard, we have people who have never heard the gospel, don't know anything about Jesus, don't know what John 3:16 is, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. Whoever believeth in him will have eternal life. They don't know it. The harvest is there. We have to go and get. We can't just be bogged down in our mind thinking that everybody's heard it. Oh, I don't want to bore them. They were probably raised in church. They probably heard it. No, they haven't. And who cares if they have? Because the power of the gospel is just as important and influential now as it would have been 5 years ago for them, 10 years ago for them. You could be that one seed that plants, boom, and boom, all of a sudden the gospel changes their lives. Again, we're pulling people. We're talking about eternal life. We're pulling people. We're introducing them to true freedom and the love of Christ. And there's power in the gospel. Don't forget, the power of the gospel is what changed your life. Come on. No matter where you get saved at, it don't matter if it was somebody on a stage. Doesn't make the power any different. I can say what I'm saying right down there. And the power is going to be the same. The power of the gospel is still there. But I get asked a lot of the time, well, how do I really share the gospel? Well, if you have a hard time sharing the gospel, Pastor Eben put it awesomely last week. If you didn't watch his message, I encourage you to go back and watch it. But he said, your story is connected to his glory. That every story has his glory. And your story connects them to the gospel. So, I was 16 years old, and I was angry at God. Growing up, I had horrible anger issues. I was angry, I was mad, I was upset. Because I was different. So, you know when you went to school, everybody, you got those big yellow school buses? Hey, well, have you seen the short ones? That was my bus. You can laugh because I'm talking about me. I'm talking about nobody else. This is me. This is my story. My story. People rode the big buses. I was on the short bus. I didn't know really how to talk. I didn't know how to speak till I was like 4 or 5, almost 6 years old. I didn't know how to really read until I was probably 12, 14. I had loving parents that worked with me a lot. For some reason, even to this day, my brain doesn't recall how to spell almost anything. So I can read, but I can't recall long words. Don't know why. Growing up, I was so angry at God because I always just wanted to be like everybody else. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you have something in your life. So everybody else went to normal classrooms. I went to the resource room where I was one of the only ones that wasn't in a wheelchair. And I always was mad at God. Why can I not be like anybody else? When I was 16 years old at a youth camp, the love of Christ hit me so hard. And even though I was angry with him, he showed me his love for me. And he told me that I created you different for a purpose. And at that point on,
I gave my life to Jesus. And I've never turned back. I'm telling you this because your story matters. Your story has a soul that's tied to it. It matters. Don't forsake the gospel's work in your own life. There's power in the gospel and it's working through you. So this morning as you came in, you probably got a little piece of paper that says my story and has a bunch of little lines on it. That's a challenge that I wanted to give you for you to write your story of what God's done in your life. Because what I've learned is that when you share your testimony, it's really hard when you don't have words to put to it. But when you take the time to write things down, then you can really write it out and it becomes easier. Write out not just your salvation story, but the crazy things that God's done in your life. But God's worked signs, wonders, and miracles. So I wanted to give you that because it makes a difference when you write it out and then you can reflect on it. Because your story matters. It matters so much. You have people that God wants you to reach. Every story matters. The last thing that we're going to go with is we're going to go with love in action. Love in action. And 1 John 3:18, it says, we were little children. Let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's not just say we're Christians. That's pretty easy. But in deed and in truth. I think Jesus gives us the best example of love in this parable. It's in Luke 10, 25 through 37, and it says this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. I'm like, that dude got some sort of attitude to test Jesus. I was like, okay, you're stronger than me. He said, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is it written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by a robber. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to go down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. Didn't just pass him, passed by the other side of him. Intentionally went out of his way. Verse 32. So too, a Levite went. He came to the place and saw him. Passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Something that we need to see in the story is that Samaritans and Jews did not like each other. They were enemies. If I can't, Mario, can you come up here? They were enemies at the time. I mean, straight up enemies. You know, growing up, we had like area code wars. I don't know if y'all had that. 903 versus the 870, like Texas versus Arkansas. And we had this battle. And it was like, I don't know why. I mean, we're a bunch of country white people. I mean, I was like, yeah. Trailer park versus trailer park. Hoorah! Like, whatever. But Jesus answers. And he goes, love your neighbor. And the example he gives us that the neighbor is the enemy. So he's beaten. Get beaten in a ditch for me. So the Bible says he was beaten. And he's in a ditch. Bible says he was naked, but we're not going to go that far. We'll keep him clothed. It says that he gave up his donkey. That he put oil and bandages on him. This is his enemy now. But he gave up the only form of transportation he had. That means he gave his car to his enemy. That means when he had to walk, he put out energy. Not only did he stop and whatever else he had going on for that day, his time it took, but he took over and he came over and he bandaged him up. And after he bandaged him up, he helped get him up because it said he was down, half beaten. He was half beaten, right? So that means he didn't get up himself. Because he wouldn't be laying there. How many of y'all can get up and walk and you just stay laying there? Yeah, right? Like they beat him real good. So that means he has to pick him up. Throw him on the donkey. Then he has to walk. Not only does he walk. Thank you. That he walks, but then he takes him to an inn. And then he pays for the inn. So he's outconvenienced in the moment, gives his own resources in the moment, and then gives more of his money to be able to cover the inn. And he says, this is how you love your neighbor. I don't know about y'all, but I don't do that for my enemy, let alone my neighbor. My neighbor doesn't cut his grass right and I'm banging on his door. I'm going to call the HOA. I'm just kidding. I don't have HOAs. I would be that guy though. But he's saying, don't only just give your resources, but give your time. He inconvenienced himself. He actually suffered to be able to present the gospel. This is what love is. Now you might say to me, Pastor Jonathan, I would do that for somebody who's in a ditch. If I saw somebody beaten, I would help them. I would pick them up. What can I tell you? Every day, spiritually, we have people in ditches, beaten up and bruised. That you have coworkers that have never heard the gospel, but because they get on your nerves, you don't think they deserve it. You have family members who are beaten, bruised in a ditch, that are robbed from the goodness of God. And the freedom that we get to walk in. So this morning, it's simple. It's time for us to go. It's time for us to go. And however God uses you, if that's in resources, if that's in a conversation, but you're an ambassador of Him, allow Him to use you. Accept the call to go. Let's not just sit back and just enjoy it for ourselves. But let's be examples. Let's share the gospel. That we have a dying generation that needs to hear about Jesus. You know, every year I make these New Year's resolutions. And for some reason, get in shape and lose weight is the top one. It's there every year. But I have resolutions for getting in shape. I have resolutions for my finances. I have resolutions for my success. And I have all these goals that I want to do throughout the year. My question is, do we have a goal for souls? At the beginning of the year, or even starting today, can you set and say, Jesus, I want to just see five people led. I want to lead five people to you, Jesus, this year. Give me the opportunity just to lead five people to you, Jesus. To save five people from the snare of hell. That can we set a goal to go? That the enemy will not win. I'm telling you. When we learn to go, that's when we see an atmosphere shift. Amen. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to challenge you that if you want to accept the call to go, you might be in this room and you might